Hello, this is Anaita Hangout, episode 2, and we have Ash Sanyan and Rustin myself. We are the core team developers and members of Anaita project. And here we have Rob, and we have Jonathan, and we also have Ben. And John, where is Julio? Is he going to join us today?
He was going to join us, but he got caught up, I'm afraid, so he's not going to join us.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's great having you guys here. It's this is the second time we're doing this. We are new at this whole concept. So, again, as I said yesterday, 2 days ago, things could go wrong, but we're going to do it anyway.
Well, we found that it's actually a talent to be a podcast, the mediator. So, and we realize that we don't have that talent. Bob Bloom.
Yeah, Bob Bloom. Like, I bet he's going to be. I was thinking to myself last night that he's going to be so proud of us because he does it so nicely. He's got music at the beginning, and he emails you with the questions.
And he's got a very nice voice. And, it's just so calm. He makes so. We might not make you guys calm.
And we are like a bunch of kids playing with their toys. And it's, the point is, hey, we are attending a meeting and we're going to record it. That's all. It's like the blogging I do. I think until today I've posted more than 200 blog posts in my life. And, but I don't consider myself a blogger. That's just, but I've done blogging. So let's call this that I've done podcasting, but we're not podcasters, or maybe later. I don't know. So,
start something new, hey?
Yeah. It's just a great way to communicate. I'm starting to really like the Google Hangout. So, all right.
Oh, it's perfect for these things.
Good.
Okay. Absolutely. It's the first time I've used that. I think it's a great way of collaborating, a great way of people being able to share stuff and talk to each other. And, you know, small as it may sound, actually see people as well. It is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, pleasure to have you guys. And basically, we've been talking on the Anaita Police for a while. Never get to see each other face to face. And now here we are trying to basically talk to you guys about Anaita. If you guys have any questions, or you tell us more about how you use Anaita, what you do. Basically, anything comes to your mind.
Okay. Yeah. Let's start with questions first, and then we can, if we get extra time, we can talk about everyone's projects. And I have the names with the order you guys replied on the group. John, you go first.
Oh, sure. Up until about an hour ago, I didn't actually have any questions because I'm usually fairly proactive on the forums. But,
just you to go.
However, I do have a question now. I had a contact from a client earlier on today.
Okay.
Who basically came to us asking for some custom work with Job Social, I think I managed to talk him around into using NATO instead, for obvious reasons, as we all know well, for the benefit of the podcasting community. It's a far more extensible system, so it's a lot easier to customize and do what you need to do with it. One of his questions was, I've not really thought about this myself yet, so it might actually be a very stupid question, but what he wants to be able to do is limit the connections that people can see within the community. But limit it not from a user perspective, from kind of an administrator's perspective. So the idea would be that somebody signs up to the website under the freemium model, and then they can see anybody they connect with. They can see their connections, but they can't go any deeper than that. That what it wants to be able to do is that if anybody pays and signs up to the pays to sign up to the community, they can then see everybody's connections within the entire community. So it'd be an agreed thing in advance. The community are aware of the fact that they're sharing their connections by signing up to it, and they're aware of these two different models. I was just curious how that fits into the framework and how that's possible.
Well, I don't know exactly the detail of it, but it's funny you mentioned that because I just finished a subscription. Is this regarding the subscription, basically people paying and having certain visibility as opposed to people who haven't paid?
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. But it's about visibility of the connections they have to other people within the network.
So let me just rephrase. This is the ability to see other people's social graph, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that becomes a premium service, to be able to see other people's social graph.
Yeah, so under the free network, you would be able to see the social graph of the connections that you have. So if you follow somebody, you can see their you can see their social graph. However, if they then pay for it, then they can see everybody's connections within the entire system. They can track everybody through.
Oh, that's subscription basically. I just implemented a subscription. It's a plugin-based model. Basically, you can add right now the new subscription that for the 1.6 allows you to install plugins that monitors every movement of the person who's logged in, and you can basically write rules based on a subscription they have. So in this case, that would be it. And as a matter of fact, remember we had that discussion. This is may not be exactly the way what you were looking for, but I also have implemented a group-based subscription. One of the plugins of a subscription is an actor plugin for subscription that you enter IDs of actors, and if they have the subscription, they can see those actors. Basically, the subscription itself, and like every plugin, can influence all the queries that goes to the database based on the subscription person has. So it's just a matter of you writing a plugin that does this. It could be for social graph, then you can just check the URL that if a person doesn't have this URL, doesn't go, you can influence basically pretty much anything with the code based on the person if they have a subscription or not.
Another concept in the lead follow mutual model, how are we going to tackle that? Is it going to be that if I have a free account, the premium service, is it for seeing my leader's social graph, or is it if I have a free account, I can see my followers' social graph, but I cannot see my leader's social graph, and I have to pay to see that?
There's a free account. I don't actually fully understand it properly myself yet, but it's a free account. Then the idea is that you can then see both your followers or your leaders and see their social graph. But you can't drill down any further than that. So you wouldn't be able to see anybody else's social graph unless they're a follower or a leader, which is kind of how it works now anyway. So then if you paid for it, you'd be able to see all your followers, all their leaders, all their social graphs, and then the persons within that social graph. So essentially, you'd be able to see everybody within the network.
Okay. So for your own social graph, that includes both your followers and your leaders?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a detail that we can we should look at different scenarios and see what could go wrong.
Sure.
It's like a proof by negation. You try different if that's the correct term. We should try. I like to see how that works in the lead follow mutual context. I mean, it works well in the forced mutual context. But I'd like to see how it will work out in the LFM model.
I'm not going to explain it very well at the moment because I don't fully understand it myself. I don't understand the context of how he actually plans to use it, and that's the problem for me.
Well, basically what I was trying to tell you is that I think there are different, like the whole idea is that there are different, when it comes down to, there are many different type of rules that you want to apply subscription for. And the way to do this, basically, I think I sort of have the answer already. I don't want to get into details, but it's because it's perfectly possible to do that with the plugin, subscription plugins, the way it works.
Yeah.
It's very powerful too. You can pretty much get down to very details, even hiding certain nodes based on any criteria. That works. That really depends. Like, what they need to do is iron out their logic. But from the implementation point of view, it's possible. Yeah, you got the So.
I really like the idea of what I already know of what you told us about the new subscription.
If you go to the to-do list, I just finished it last night. Just some skinning left to do. but it's very powerful because I originally wanted to, the fact that it works based on a plugin, the rules, this is exactly what I wanted from the before. The whole idea of subscription was that it only handles the purchase and the payment and managing the subscription package, but it doesn't know anything about how it enforce rules. The rules are actually external. It's up to you or other developers to decide what kind of rules they want to enforce. By default, it comes with two rules. One is the user type, which I'm thinking probably to get rid of that one, but the other one is the actor privacy one. Basically, it works based on, you know, you either include or exclude some actors, and if they have a privacy, if they have purchased a package, they can either see or not see the actor. And when they don't see it, that actor become non-existent to them. That means they don't even get fetched from the database. They're just not there.
Yeah.
And so it's very powerful. So.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. I really like the idea.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. The next person, well, Peter is not with us. Let's go.
I think Peter just added me on the Google Plus.
Did he? We should. Would you be able to invite them from there? And also Alex. Alex did add me,
Alex added me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Add him.
And I have multiple Alex on my that showed up. I have to remember the full names. Alex Blumenthal's. So let me add him as a contact. Invite. I did too. So he's gonna get two invites. Come on in, Alex. So let's. Ben, you're next.
Okay. Well, yes, I have some questions, and I think I could start with two, and start by describing what I would like to do. This is I'd probably start now in December, and I'm doing some tuition, and I'm, as I have explained previously, also at Anahita Police, I'm very interested in this learning aspects. And it's very interesting because I can see that other systems of making learning environments, they are going more and more towards the social aspects. That is a very central part of it. And therefore, it looks to me that some of them, they are trying to include the social part. And I can understand the best way would be if you want the social part to be a very central part, and I believe that is important, then the administration of e-learning and so on should be built around a system like Anahita. So that is one question, is if there is any, because I know we are talking about the future, maybe I have to involve some people who is working professionally to develop this, because this is absolutely not out of the box, of course, I know. But it's more to make up a strategy, how to deal with it at the moment, to make it scalable in maybe some few months when I have got contact with people who can help me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of it is also, if I want to scale it up to having two communities, which one is a student community and one is a professional community, and also a little bit a tip on how to plan the possibility for a future bringing them together, and also what you have been mentioning yourself with maybe even external connection like a distributed network. That is my question.
Okay. Could you phrase the questions one more time? That what exactly we're asking?
It is more like an advice of, I know that this will be more for the future, but just an advice. What how should I handle it now to have it scalable for the future when Anahita is ready more for distributed networks and so on, just to make sure there is no to make it scalable from the beginning.
I would think that you need to implement smaller e-learning environments first and see what needs to be scaled up, and then you focus on those aspects. There are certain things that are common to scaling up a social network in terms of, you know, you want to have a large number of users, you want to have a good way to handle the storage system when people upload lots of files and they add a lot of comments and all of that. But certain things are very specific to your design, what you're trying to achieve, and see what are the bottlenecks, and then you work on those and you scale up.
Ash can elaborate
on that.
No,
yeah.
I just want to know when the concept of scalability, it's one of those words that you hear a lot, except there's no clear definition. Like, I mean, what is it that you're trying to scale up? Like, I mean, because you don't know what you need at the time you actually need it. For example, that has been our philosophy, that we don't know, like, we don't pre-scale for something that we don't have the need for it. For example, in the beginning, we started an AWS on this server that we had. After we passed 300-400 people, we realized that we need a better server, and then few weeks ago we added more memories, and basically we're scaling up as we go on. So for something that you haven't started, what do you have in mind in terms of scalability? Like, what is it that are we talking about Facebook scalability or like Google Plus scalability? What do you have in mind?
Well, I can see two possibilities. Either I have to use Anahita separately as the social platform, and then to use, for example, like Sakai outside that as a learning platform, as a learning management platform. Or the other alternative is to build in those functions that could be useful into the Anahita, with the relevant help to do it.
Okay, I'm not familiar with Sakai, so I don't know what is it that they do. But one thing I can tell you if you plan, like, this is a generic statement in general, that you don't add social to an edge platform, you build the platform social from ground up. And I'm not sure if it applies to you or not, but usually that's sort of like the advice. Well, it's not the advice. It's somebody at Facebook actually said it. So it's sort of like I'm basically learning that, you know, so you probably want to start off build everything social from ground up rather than having a social network than a platform, e-learning platform on the side, because learning is a social
activity.
Action. What's that?
Social activity.
It's a social activity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, lost someone. So the whole concept of having, you know, like e-learning on one side, and you have your community. I mean, that's so, the whole purpose of Anahita was to bring all those together. That you can't just have a community on the side of your app. Your whole app has to be social from ground up. So that's something that if you do it now, in the long run, you probably want to merge them. So that's something you probably want to consider from the beginning. Now, as for the scalability, yes, as Rustin said, there are some measurements like, you know, storage, you know, good memories, good servers. And as for the code of Anahita, we try to make it as optimized as possible with the knowledge we have at this stage that we are in right now. The more we go in the future, obviously, the more we make it more optimized. Except the only problem is that we can't make Anahita optimized for 10 million people or 20 million people at this time, because we don't have an example of how to do that.
We don't know what scenarios are required. when somebody asks and said, well, you show me a social network of that scale, and then we tell you what needs to be optimized, because that's how you do it. Look at the system. You look at all the bottlenecks, so what, you look at the scenarios that are slowing down, and then you scale for that. What we are doing right now is to do whatever that computer science tells us, how to build a software that is scalable. So right now, we're taking those measurements when we're building Anahita, and our focus is to build, unlike the other alternatives that are out there that are focusing on keep adding features, our focus is to actually take out until we can no longer take out, to build a really light and flexible and scalable system. But when it gets to building a specific solution, such as e-learning, and e-learning is a really specific context, you need to first build it, and you need to run several scenarios and at in small scale and see what scenarios happen a lot, and what areas that system slows down. And then, based on that, you plan your next stage of optimization or next stage of scaling up, and you grow in multiple stages. I also like to give a little preview on online learning, because one of the original motives for Anahita project, and this is going a little beyond the question you asked, Ben, but I think it's makes a good content for this session. One of the original motives for starting the Anahita project was actually online learning, because both Ash and myself, we were developing online learning environments. After school, I right away got hired to work in an education company, and I built software that the company was providing the content. Then the content was made available to thousands of schools in Canada and U.S. And students would go through and do a bunch of surveys and quizzes and all those stuff. And after releasing two or three versions of that applications, and people were using it, and we religiously followed the IMS standards, then I realized the problem is not the software or the IMS standard. The problem is that the education model is broken. That and here we were also marketing software to a students. The people who knew least about technology were the ones in control, which were the company, the principal, the teachers, and the people who knew most about technology and most comfortable. These kids had the least power within the system. And these were the kids who were already social networking, using the early versions of smartphones. So I dropped out, and at the time I was thinking that a true model would be a distributed and social learning environment. And you can't sell that to the old school academic world or a school system. It has to be a system that grows outside on a completely new way of thinking, and then it challenges the traditional system. So, and still today, it remains one of our goals with Ash that we like to build a distributed online learning environment at some point, which is for anything. It doesn't have to be for nuclear physics. Anything as simple as how to bake a muffin to how to, I don't know, manufacture a biofuel in your basement should be able to be taught there. And as people populate the system and they vote and rank in comments, good content merges to the top, and anyone is free to contribute, whether you are a homebrew scientist or you are a academic world. And a lot of the concept in the IMS standard, and interestingly, they actually follow the theatrical analogies that we use. They have these concepts called plays, that every play has multiple actors in it. And a play consists of a list of acts. And every act, the actors, they do a learning activity. And they use these things called learning objects. So you can apply that to learning. A play can be a course, which contains a list of lessons. Which are a list of acts. And in every lesson, the actors, which is the teachers and the students, and they use a bunch of learning objects, videos, pictures, topics, all of that. And they engage in a learning activity, and they go through a series of acts until they're done. you can easily build that in Anaita, actually. You can take a go at it in different ways. For example, you can make consider a group a course, and you can build a list of acts in them, and you already have medium notes such as topics, blog posts, images, videos. All of those can be considered as learning objects. So all the building blocks are there to build a distributed learning environment and a social learning environment. And right now, Anahita Police is being used as a learning environment, as it is, without being in a restricted concept of IMS standards. And the other question would be adoption of technologies like this, because the concept of social is very new. If you want to sell it to a school system, it's probably not going to be easy work. And the way to make it work is that you start in a small scale, let's say in the local community college or in local digital photography class or in a neighborhood, and start using these learning environments and get people to and teach people something and document the results. And then gradually move to more advanced concepts. Let's say in the colleges, they can conduct a math or biology class to within an Anahita environment and document the results. And gradually make your way to more advanced or more extensive scenarios. And as you go and you document, you understand the bottlenecks. You understand what happens a lot, what doesn't happen. And there you can identify what needs to be done to scale up a system like this. So then you can plan about scalability.
That's nice to hear, because when I mentioned, that was my mistake, when I mentioned scalability, I was mm-hmm. more thinking on what you mentioned in the end there. More that way than in numbers, you see. So
yes.
Oh, I see. Social scalability then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. These sort of plans should be executed in multiple stages, and I understand, especially when you build social software. Social engineering and software engineering go hand in hand. In the traditional world, you build the software in isolation and then you try to get people use it and then you improve the software. When you develop social software, you build a community of users at the same time you're building the software and you improve. That's why you have to start very small and light, and then gradually add as you need. And also to take out as you go. It's important because in different stages, as your community grows, the needs also change. So you need to also be able to take out features as well, and at the same time that you add new features. So
I'm happy with that because then I know it is just to start, and then the needs will show by by time emerging when it's coming.
I would start with a local dance class or local photography class or a local summer biology class or things like that, and document the results and use installations of Anahita in that environment. Because it's an environment that is quite harmless, it's quite low risk. Document all the results, and then gradually move to more technical, like teach a programming course or teach a web design course, and then move to teach a first year college course, and then gradually move towards that. Looking at a lot of the e-learning software is being used today in colleges, the quality is so low. You have a lot to contribute.
And it's a good. It's actually a market right now that's picking up. There's a lot of new online services for e-learning that are basically based around the same concept that we just talked about. It's every day I'm sending Rustin an article about online learning. Rustin, like how many like new to like online tutorials that I like about online learning site. Like every day I'm sending it. So it's a good market actually.
Yeah. I think the need for learning is going to be around for as long as human beings or intelligent beings are around. So there's always good market for it. It's just a matter of identifying the next way of learning. And it's definitely a great field to invest in. Lots of opportunities there.
And it looks like they are all gathering towards what Anahita is, because they all want to be social now, it looks.
Well, there is one big... the school system is still pretty much a top-down dictatorship. There is a very strict top-down model, and for a lot of the today's generation... are not comfortable with that. A generation of the Facebook and Twitter, a generation that they want to be fed in information in small bits and they can multitask. This generation are not performing really well in the traditional school model. So we need technology that is more human. And I think social networking is more human. Is more natural for us than the rigid environment that hasn't changed much really for centuries, the classroom model.
Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. That's my one of my favorite topics. You can tell. I can go on. Alex, can you hear us? I know Alex just joined us.
Hi, Alex.
It's really great to see you guys and to hear you. It kind of adds a whole dimension of reality when you. I mean, it's very nice to see you in Anahita, but it's actually a great pleasure to see you in the flesh. So it's closest to the flesh.
It's a great experience.
How are you? It's as much as social networks are very good to hang out, but nothing beats the video one-to-one.
Yeah, I like this better than chat. Everybody's asking for chat, and I'm keep thinking to myself, we need something like this. It's better than chat.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So I'm just out of curiosity. From different countries, like how many different countries we're looking at? Sorry, John, you tell us, and everyone, and John first, from where are you attending our hangout?
Collected from the UK, but I am originally English, but I've lived in a lot of different places, lived all around the world actually, but I am English, from the UK.
So from UK, and Ben, where are you?
I'm Norwegian, but I live in Denmark.
Okay, so from Denmark, and Alex. Alex, can you hear us?
I don't know.
I think Alex cannot hear.
I am in Latvia. Do you know where Latvia is?
Latvia.
Making a small picture here.
Okay. Yeah, share a link with us.
Okay.
That's a picture. I must improve my drawing.
I missed that.
Well, this is awesome.
I missed that. Can I see that again?
Just across Sweden.
I think I know Latvium from I'm a big 10-10 fan, so I don't know. One of the series was in Latvia, so trying to figure that out. Yeah, probably.
This is so awesome. Like the diversity
and Rob,
we have.
Where are you?
And Rob, I believe Rob is in our own backyard.
Yeah,
like Rob.
We're all based out of Canada, Ottawa, Canada.
Ottawa, Canada.
Oh, Ottawa, Canada. I thought you were in BC.
No, we're all based at Ottawa, Canada.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So we have from... awesome. all right. Alex, since we did call you, but you were... and now that you're here, did you have a question you wanted to ask us?
Well, I mean, yeah. I really following as best I can the changes you are making to the system, AITA. I call it an AITA. How do you pronounce it?
It's correct, yes.
Is an AITA how you pronounce it?
Yes, that's right, Anahita.
Anahita, yeah.
Okay. I come from the other end. I come from the how do you build communities then? So I worked as a business consultant for 30 years. In the last 10 years, I've been very intensely involved in using people methods to improve organizations, communities, solve complex problems. And I came to AITA because I had arrived at the need for peer-to-peer learning systems as the essence of what makes a group a group.
Mm-hmm.
So unless there's a peer-to-peer process going on, all you have is a crowd. So, I mean, in the pyramid structure, inevitably you leave the passion and the heart and the energy of people untapped. And then, I mean, this is terrible because we know for a fact that the amount of disease and loss of health in the lower part of the pyramid is disproportionate to the people on the top of the pyramid. So they say, if we look at the world situation today and we say there's a huge crisis, actually the only solution is a dramatic increase in productivity. And in terms of what we're discussing here, the maintenance cost of social processes that don't work is about 80% of all the cost. So let's say if we actually succeed in implementing horizontal structures, then we are actually saving 80% of health costs, 80% of education costs, 80% of all kinds of costs, and then the problem is solved. So this is a key piece to this global crisis situation that's unraveling in the next 5 to 10 years. So that's how I see it. So I'm very interested in you know, as you were saying, Rustin, you know, of learning as we go along, implementing these organizations, these horizontal organizations, because this has all kinds of components. I mean, this is not just if we have, you know, software or we don't. I mean, we need the software, but we also need human processes for people to interact.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not very good at it because we are all limited by our own psychology. We have issues to talk to other people. You know, it's okay to socialize and put I like and some superficial interaction. But when it comes to actually doing the kinds of things that I see in AITA, like having plans and milestones and deep discussions and keeping track of our, you know, conversations over time, and something that to me has all the markings of deeper conversations and relationships in groups, then I think that the human component that needs to happen to make it work is, you know, I mean, it's an area I'm interested in. I'm not sure, I mean, how others are making their learning curve on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I that's where I put a lot of my effort to try to make it work.
Did you have a question? That just to add at the end, and then I was going to start. Pardon me, because I didn't. Your voice didn't come through. Could you repeat that again, please?
I was saying that I don't really have if I had a question, would be, do you experience also that, the appetite for deeper conversations and use of the Anahita as you envision it has to do with group practices, social things, rather than technology things?
I'm not sure if I completely understand your question. Would you be able to rephrase it again? I can talk about around the concept, but I like to start with a good question. So let's work on that a little bit. So do I think that... could you repeat that again, please?
For me, it's
11
o'clock tonight. So,
okay. All right.
It's not important.
Okay.
It's really not important.
Okay. So I'm gonna go because you did mention e-learning and online learning at the beginning, which seems to become the theme of today's session. And also, you tackled another issue, which was a pyramid, and how they're not the most efficient systems in the world. The other part that you tackled was groups and getting actual work done, and what are groups and defining the groups. So am I correct? Am I tackling the issues right?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
The last one is the first one,
Okay, so let's start from that. A group in the Anahita the general concept, a group is simply a collection of people. Like even in software, we have a person profile and we have a group profile. A group is represents more than one person, except that they have a context. There's a few people come together and they are doing something towards a certain goal, or they are broadcasting, or they're creating stories, or have a story to tell in a certain context, and that's a group. However, the other question comes in, because we see groups on Facebook, or we see... I look at Facebook or Twitter. They are right now mainly working as news networks. They're either active or passive news networks. That's the environment that you connect with as many people, either friends or just whoever, like Twitter, and you get information coming to you, and they're acting as news networks. They are also known as the places for distraction, social networks are getting this bad rep for distracting people. Which is not true. Social networks can be great places to get work done. We are using a social network right now to deliver service and support to people and also to manage our projects. And how is it done? Social networks put communication on a steroid. They make the communication communication happens in a fashion that is far more compatible with our brains, I think. The way we have evolved, that we stay away from a hierarchy and we follow and lead people, and information just propagates around in this network of leaders and followers. And then you can build a group, and there you have to set milestones and goals, and you can get things done. In an environment where people can contribute. Let's look at the pyramid model, that there's one person on the top, there are all these, it's basically a tree model, that and there is a root on the top and then branches out to the bottom. And in the organization that work on a tree model, the person on the top is most powerful, has all the information, and then as you go to the bottom, people have less power and there is less information shared. On a social network, the system can grow from any direction. Leadership is not appointed, it's earned. You can't call yourself a leader unless people choose to follow you, versus in a pyramid model, people come and appoint a boss to you, and they give you assignments. in the social network, you pick your projects, and you choose to follow people that you believe in or admire or believe in their cause, and that's how relationships are formed, and they are far more natural, I believe. And I think a new generation of organizations are also building up according to that model. And that is also one reason that traditional organizations having such a difficult time adopting social networking technologies, because it goes against their culture. It goes against their top-down culture. It goes against their information is hidden by default culture. Versus in a social network, information is available by default, and anyone can choose to follow someone else. And leadership is earned and not appointed. So that's how I define a group in a social network, and it is perfectly possible to get things done. And we are try to be the first role model ourselves, and we also like to look into different scenarios that we can apply that.